I was about to start this audio boo by saying something like, "Good evening everyone, it's..." and then tell you the date. But I can't remember for the life of me what today's date is. Possibly the 25th. It's the 25th of January, I think. Good evening everyone, it's the 25th of January. Funnily enough. I just thought I'd do a boo. Well, I wasn't going to do a boo, but I was browsing through Audio Boo, as one does occasionally, and there was a very interesting post by somebody, I can't remember his name now, S2M something. Let's see if I can find it whilst I'm talking. I'm not very good at talking and doing that at the same time, as I've just proven really well. I'll tell you what, I'll put the person's name in a tag, and then you'll know who I'm talking about. But anyway, very interesting boo on who do we boo to? Who are we talking to? Who are we thinking of when we're doing a boo? And I left a comment, just a written one, on the boo page, saying that I've used audio boo in so many different ways that I feel that I've talked to lots of different audiences. To be honest, I've got no idea. Well, I suppose I do have an idea that there are people listening to it because I get counts of, these days, not very high counts, maybe up to about 10 per boo. In the past, would get an awful lot more. I think that's probably just a sign of audio boo becoming more popular and a certain there only being a finite number of people actually browsing through and listening to everything, but it being spread across a greater number of users. There we go, there's a tangent on a tangent. So who am I booing to? Well, this boo, I think, is just at the kinds of people who probably follow me on Twitter, apart from the ones who are spamming me and I haven't got around to deleting, and anybody else who's vaguely interested in my fairly random boos from time to time. I wanted to just say that it's always good, isn't it, when you think about what you're going to say before you try and say it. I could pause, but maybe I won't. I'm not really somebody who makes New Year's resolutions, because it always seems a bit of a silly thing. And to be honest, it's probably a pretty good job, because now we're 7 days away from the end of January. It's probably a bit late to be doing it. However, if I were to make a New Year's resolution, it would be that I really, really, really want to get back into sailing. I learnt to sail coming up to 4 years ago. There was an item on Radio 4's In Touch programme about a sailing club in East London, South East London, I suppose, Rotherhithe, that wanted to get more visually impaired sailors, because they had heard that visually impaired sailors like to go really fast, and as opposed to everybody else who liked tootling about on the dock and not really going very far. And I answered that, and I managed to do my RYA, start sailing levels 1 and 2 within the space of about 6 months, which was pretty good going. Went along on a blind sailing weekend in Cowes, and then a couple of successive training sessions after that, and got as far as being named as a reserve for the British blind sailing team, and that was all within about sort of 6 to 8 months, which is pretty impressive, I think. And then the May of the following year, I managed to helm the winning boat in the blind nationals, both in the B2 class and overall. Which is really good. Whether I want to mention this now or not, I don't know. I suppose I have to. That in the 2 years that followed that, I have come last and last, but last to last, if you will. Third to last. Something like that. Anyway, there are an awful lot of factors at stake in blind sailing. When you're fleet racing in blind sailing, you have a sighted tactician on board who who works out a lot of the tactics and tells you which way to point the boat. And I think an awful lot can be down to that at times. Though, obviously, a lot is down to sailing skill as well, and hopefully I'm a reasonable helm. However, I'm probably not a reasonable helm at the moment, as I haven't sailed since last year's Blind Nationals back in May, and I'm sorely out of practice. Part of the reason for me not sailing is that the past couple of years, well, I got Vance, and leaving him is quite difficult when sailing. It's not always possible to have a member of my family come along. Sometimes my mum has been along to look after Vance, but it's a bit too much to expect her to do that on every sailing weekend, particularly when it involves travelling down to Cowes or up to Windermere. And then there isn't always somebody else to look after him. And then just when I was coming to the point of thinking that I could get back into sailing, I had my appendix out, and that rather messed things up for a lot longer than having your appendix out should really mess you up for. And then somehow the past year, I've just felt a bit apathetic and haven't really got back into it. But anyway, I really want to get back into it now. As well as the fleet racing, they've been in the past year starting doing blind match racing, which sounds really exciting because it's really putting the visually impaired person quite literally in the driving seat. You have audio buoys out on the water and audio speakers, what's the right word for it, an audio marker on the boats. And I believe that they change depending on whether you're on port or starboard tack. And although you have a sighted person on the boat as you do in fleet racing, they don't do anything except in an emergency. And I think, as I understand it, you have generally a B1 person. So that's somebody with somewhere between no sight at all and having enough sight to perceive light or tell, I think, a hand being moved across in front of their face. A B1 helming the boat, and then I think a B2 or B3 crewing and doing the sort of tactics bit. And the reason why this is exciting, particularly, is because it's allowing visually impaired people to compete against each other without the added unknown of having a sighted person on the boat telling them which way to go, which can obviously can influence things quite considerably depending on the experience and skill of that person. So it's coming down to the actual skill and experience of the visually impaired people on the boat themselves. It's also exciting because the international body for disabled sport, the name of which escapes me, is looking at promoting this as a potential demonstration sport for the 2016 Paralympic Games, with a view to having it accepted as a Paralympic sport at some point in the longer term. I think this could be really good, because at present, in Paralympic sailing, it's really difficult for a visually impaired person to get into a boat. Paralympic sport is all based a lot of the time, at least, around having certain point scores depending on the type of disability. Certain sports have classifications, and then in sailing you have point scores, which, as I understand it, you can only have a certain number of points in a boat, and due to the number that a visually impaired person gets alongside what they can give to a crew, means it's quite difficult for them to get in. And so this is a real opportunity for visually impaired sailors to be able to compete properly at an international level. So fingers crossed that it makes progress. I think a lot's going to depend on getting sufficient sponsorship. Anybody who's interested in funding and helping this sport to move forward might want to find the Blind Sailing Great Britain Just Giving page. I think in the coming year there really needs to be a lot more publicity around this. We've got a brilliant opportunity with the Paralympic Games happening to really flag, no pun intended, the emerging sport here, and the I keep using the word opportunity, but the opportunity for everyone, really, I suppose, the opportunity for visually impaired sailors themselves, the opportunity for potential sponsors as well, and this could end up being quite an interesting sport for people to watch as well. So I've gone off on a vast tangent, because I was saying that's, I suppose, partly one of the reasons why I wanted to get back into sailing. I don't know whether it's something that I would be any good at or not. My experience to date has tended to be in helming, and obviously as a B2, I wouldn't be able to helm in the match racing. And also, I've rather missed out on the development of it so far through not sailing last year. So whether it's possible to get into it now, I have no idea. However, I'm going to Cowles on the weekend, whenever the weekend is, to do some sailing training, which I'm really, really looking forward to. So hopefully continuing to improve my helming skills, which always get a little bit rusty when I haven't been using them for a while. It's not really like riding a bike. Helming when you're visually impaired is largely around having a real instinctive feel for the wind, knowing what point of sail you're on and trying to keep the boat on a course based on that. So, for instance, when sailing upwind, it's trying to keep it right on that edge where the boat is sailing at its very best and not letting it go too high or too low. So that's what I'd like to do. I also, though, if I wanted to get into the match racing, if there was the opportunity to get into it, bother I use that word again, I really need to brush up on my crewing, and that's definitely my weaker side. I'm not really the strongest of people. I don't have a vast amount of weight behind me, which actually leads me onto something else, which I'll mention in a moment. And so it's an area that I really need to be better at. It takes a little bit more sort of dexterity, I suppose, in moving around the boat and being able to grab the right things and be in several places at once, and also providing a certain amount of balance to the boat as well. The other thing I was just going to mention was that I'm not sure really whether I want to say this on audiobook. It's probably too late now. I have an interesting relationship with food, let's say. I really love food. I love going out to nice restaurants, pubs, and eating different food and things I haven't had before, or really well-cooked meals, interesting meals. However, I get bored with the mundane. I get bored with the day in, day out, coming home from work, having to cook something and then wash it all up again and gobble it down at some point in the middle. And as a result, I don't tend to eat brilliantly well, not as well as I ought to, and I'm probably not in brilliant shape for getting back into sailing. And so it's something that I've been trying to think about over the past couple of weeks and try and rebalance my diet so that I'm in better shape for sailing. My main concern is that I'm pretty underweight, and that I simply won't have the fat and carbohydrate resources to get me through two whole days of sailing. So I've been trying to, as I say, eat in a more balanced way over the past couple of weeks, but realistically that's probably not going to have me in the right shape early enough. So I've also been having to think about sort of mitigation measures, I suppose. What I've got are some high carbohydrate foods, sort of sports foods, along with a bit of dried fruit and things to have before and during sailing, followed by some sort of carbohydrate stroke protein bars to have afterwards. I can't claim to be any expert on sports nutrition, and it's probably all a bit academic for me at the moment, but I thought I probably at least ought to try and have resources there to get me through this. So that's what I'm doing. Going back to the original question, I have no idea who's listening to this, whether they'll get this far through what's a very long and rambling message, but I hope it's of interest on a number of levels. Interesting on that question of who listens to audio booze, and it'll be good to see the responses other people have to that. Perhaps I will get into this sort of conversational mode for audio boo. Hopefully it's also interesting from a blind sailing point of view of how blind sailing works, where it's going as a sport. I'll try and post more from Cowes. I'm afraid I'm not brave enough to take my phone out on a boat. I don't trust my helming skills enough not to end up in the water at some point, although one would hope that doesn't happen from a fairly large keelboat. Yes, I've completely lost the chain of thought. Vance has just sighed and walked over to his bed, as you can hear. He's probably waiting for his dinner. Are you waiting for your dinner, big dog? Vance? Dead to the world. So I shall stop doing this rather sort of tapered ending, stop.